Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Tuesday, January 16th, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are in the doctor's opinion on page XXIX, the first full paragraph, beginning with, on the other hand, ending with, required to follow a few simple rules. We are reading and commenting on one paragraph only today. Today's readers are Janice P.M., reading the text, Shelley E., reading page 164. Our newcomer greeter is Carla C., and announcements will be Robin P. The reference ID number for yesterday, Monday, January 15th, 2024, is 21,039, or 21039. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,041, or 21041. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Tanya P. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you for your service. This is Tanya P., recovered in Michigan. And these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to serve, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Tanya P. I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you. This is Mary P. from Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or communities directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service this morning, and I pass.
Well, thank you, Mary P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, and then we stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and the literature that we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the doctor's opinion. We're on page XXIX. We're going to read the first full paragraph, beginning with, on the other hand, ending with, required to follow a few simple rules. We are reading and commenting on one paragraph only this morning. And I will now ask Janice P.M. to begin reading.
Well, thank you so much, Todd Me, Stephanie L. What a pleasure it is for me, Janice P.M., living here in Massachusetts as a recovered compulsive overeater. It's my pleasure. On the other hand, and strange as this may seem to those who do not understand, once a psychic change has occurred, the very same person who seemed doomed, who had so many problems he despaired of ever solving them, suddenly finds himself easily able to control his desire for alcohol, the only effort necessary being that required to follow a few simple rules. Powerful, powerful, hopeful paragraph. And if somebody could time me, I'd appreciate it. All right, so we just got finished reading the top part of, you know, over and over in this vicious cycle. Now, if you identify with that, then you identify with powerlessness. Everything in that paragraph happened to me. But it took me a long time to accept that I am a compulsive overeater. I didn't want to be. As soon as I surrendered and accepted the fact that I cannot do this, and it says here, on the other hand, which means this means now everything after that is a hopeful promise, which has also happened to me and many of you when we changed. What do you mean? Now I found a power. Strange as this may seem to, for those who don't understand, those who do understand, only it seemed impossible, but it wasn't, because it tells us that abstinence alone, oh, for years I was abstinent and I wasn't abstinent, but I still had all my problems, because the body, when I was abstinent, you know, I didn't pick up the bite. The allergy wasn't started. But now I had a bigger problem. That was my mind, the reasonings I had. I thought just because I was abstinent, you know, life is a bowl of cherries. Well, it wasn't, because I still had that sick mind. And, you know, a sick mind cannot heal a sick mind. So when it says a psychic change has occurred to that very same person that we're talking about, that had the vicious cycle, and I was doomed, but I wasn't, because I had so many problems with my son, with this, with that, but it was easily to be controlled. All these problems were fixed. If you want the solution and not go through this vicious cycle like I did for decades, this is the way out. It's a daily reprieve from the suspension of my death sentence, because I couldn't do it. I couldn't fix my mind. I had all these ideas. But it says here, now that I am recovered for one day only, I'm not cured, do I have the power myself? No, I don't have the power myself. The power came into me. It happened to me when I went through these 12 steps. And what does that mean, the 12 steps? Oh, okay. That means practicing certain principles, knowing, being honest with myself, that I am a compulsive overeater and I have to follow. It's required that I follow these principles, and then I will.
Janice, that's time.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I didn't even hear it because of my hearing. All right. Thank you so much, and I pass.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Janice PM, for a great start to a great paragraph. We are now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you share it on Friday or Monday on any of our vision meetings, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes. We got lots of people on the line, so please keep it to 3 minutes to allow for as many people as possible to share. I'll remind you with the timer when your time is up. So I'd like to get first name, last initial, and where you're
Agnes
from.
Agnes A.
I've got Agnes.
California.
Ginger.
I heard Ginger, and there was a male voice. I didn't get the name.
Rohan S.
Rohan S.
Agnes A.
I got you, Agnes.
Nancy J. Nancy J.
Got you, Nancy J. Is there anyone else who'd like to get in on this first lineup? All right, we'll go with that. I have Agnes A, I've got Ginger, I've got Rohan, I've got Nancy J. Please make sure to give us your last initial and where you are calling from, and we'll start with Agnes A, followed by Ginger.
Hi, thank you for letting me share. I am Agnes A from California, Pacific Time. I haven't shared in a while. I've traveled for a while, and I couldn't attend as many meetings as I wanted. But this is a good place. I was here yesterday, too, and I think the paragraphs are tied, you know. And it's like I'm just grateful because a year ago I surrendered, right? And then I became recovered and on a daily basis, of course. And for the past 1 year, I've just been enjoying having God do for me what I can do for myself, not just with the food, the weight, but also the other problems that seemed insurmountable, that depressed me, that caused me anxiety, that just felt like knots that could not be loosened, you know. And so I got on in the program in January, got a fantastic sponsor who quickly, the Vision Way, sponsored me from steps 1 through 12, so that I started enjoying, you know, the promises of each and every step that I've been going through repeatedly. So then I felt like 7 months into it, because I had a lot of weight to lose, still do, I plateaued, right? And plateaued for a long time, exercising, doing it all, and being like, I'm calling my sponsor, maybe not reporting my food every day, so that I wondered, what else could I do? And they have all these pills out there, and they have, you know, all those quick fixes, those diets that always torpedoed me in the past. And my sponsor just said, keep doing what you're doing. These are the 12 steps, you know. So anyway, to cut a long story short, after several decisions that were tough, that kind of got under control so that they didn't trigger eating, I travel and I'm like, okay, this is the deal breaker. It's holiday, I'm traveling, I don't have my kitchen. And I come back not upset, and I've lost 10 pounds. I've gone over the plateau. I did nothing different, just stayed with the program and surrendered and trusted God. You know, and I've had so many other issues about relocation, you know, that ordinarily would be overwhelming. But again, I have a program, you know, that helps me surrender, work the 12 steps, and one day at a time, God does for me what I can't do for myself. I have a little anxiety, but I go to programs, to meetings, to friends, and they remind me to let go and let God every day, every second. This program is working for me, and I'm so grateful. And with that, I pass.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Agnes A. from California. Ginger, you're up next, followed by Rohan.
I'm sorry, this Ginger. Is Ginger.
Oh, thank you. We got you.
Okay. Thank you for your service, everyone. Excuse me. So this is the first time I'm on this meeting. I tried a couple of things last week, but I am new to UA. New to UA. My wonderful action partner has suggested this particular meeting, and so far I find it extremely positive and wonderful that it is so. I'm carrying a lot of extra weight, and health-wise, that's the major thing that I want to change, that I need to work on. And excuse me. Be quiet, Una. I was just about to try one of these medications. But a friend told me something very negative about the medication, so I was disappointed that I would not be taking it. The other thing is that last night I think I was good last night. No, last I eat stitch. Let me put it this way: it's not that I eat overly large portions. I stuff my face. But last night I ordered Japanese food, and I don't know if I was still hungry. I had lunch very late, and there's sort of a worry in me, well, what if I get hungry later, then I won't be able to sleep. So it was a bigger portion than I expected. It was delicious, but too much, and you can't really save it till the next day. And it was 11 o'clock at night. So I need to start eating my meals much earlier, and most importantly, to not eat just before I go to bed. It interferes with my sleep. It interferes with my digestion. I think that's what's motivating me to go to this program, to this meeting. I hope to be on a meeting on a regular basis. And this would be my second 12-step program that I'm in. I'm very grateful that I got up exactly in time to find the number for this meeting and to get on right from the beginning. And I hope to make friends in this meeting. We can support each other.
Ginger, that's your time. Can you let us know your last initial and where you're calling from?
Yes, my last initial is M, like Mary, and I'm calling from New York City. Thank you so much.
We didn't hear that. You broke up. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from New York City.
Okay, thank you so much. And thank you so much for sharing. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, next up we've got Rohan S. followed by Nancy J.
Hello, everybody. My name is Rohan S. I'm from New Jersey, and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And I love this paragraph. The one line that sticks to me right now is where it says, "And strange as this may be, I do not understand." So if you had told me or read to me this paragraph when I was, you know, out there in the food, and told me that change, I would have found that to be extremely, extremely strange. You know, first of all, because I don't really even know what psychic change means. Like, I hear that and I think of witches and wizards and Harry Potter. That's the best that I can come up with. Because, you know, when I was in the food, I was very, very convinced that the food was the problem, you know, and because of that, every time I would go on a diet and be successful on it for like a week or 2 weeks, or even sometimes 3 weeks, you know, I'd be very proud of myself. And, you know, my mind would convince itself that, you know, food was the problem, but now I've, you know, stayed away for 3 weeks and, you know, finally I figured it out. Finally, I'm old enough. I'm mature enough. I've gained enough knowledge and wisdom, and I figured it out. And I have solved the food problem. But, you know, I come into OA and I learn that food is not the problem. It's actually the solution to my problem. And I also got psychic change explained in a way that's been so helpful to me that really my problem is that I have a God-sized hole in my heart, you know, and for the longest time I was filling that hole up with food, but it doesn't really work. The food just goes right through and I want more and more and more. And, you know, when I came into OA program, I relapsed a couple of times. But then I really had to just push through, and I'm so glad I had a sponsor that just kept on pushing me to go through the steps quickly. And then, you know, I don't know when it happened, but I just kept on following the steps. I kept on doing 10 steps. I kept on writing my nightly inventory. You know, I kept on doing outreach, asking for help, speaking to someone with less time than me, all doing these things that are simple enough. And then one day it just was like, wow, like I don't want the food. That really has been the biggest miracle for me, that I don't want the food. And I guess what that really means is that God-sized hole for today is filled with God. And that's enough motivation for when I wake up tomorrow to try to do the same thing over again, because nothing beats this freedom. Nothing beats me not wanting the food. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Rohan S. from New Jersey. Next up, we've got Nancy J.
Hi, morning. Nancy J. I'm in California. Just wanted to check in, and yeah, great paragraph. And I'm going to just tell a funny. I always do vision in the morning after my meditation, and I, depending on the time, I jumped on the recording, and I was so excited to share, I pressed star one on the recording. Anyway, here I am in a live meeting, so it's working for me. I just think of the people at work that are just fascinated with me. You know, I'm like a circus sideshow, and I've kind of just, you know, I've just had to accept it. You know, this body, this losing almost 85 pounds in the last year, and them just observing me. Once they got over the shock of what they were seeing, they observing my food behaviors and my lunches, and some of them emulating what I'm eating. Like, I'm trying to do like you do, Nancy. And to me, that's like the biggest compliment than someone saying, you know, wow, look at, you know, it's about health, right? But it's about so many things. But yeah, it's just fascinating. They don't understand. And those that really perhaps could even need the program, you know, people ask me how you did it. And I'll say, well, I saw a nutritionist and I'm following that food plan. And I also had a spiritual change. I've yet to have one person ask me, really, what's the spiritual change? I mean, they probably figure they know, like I'm a religious fanatic now, or, you know, I'm a nudist, you know, whatever, you know. But yeah, one person to ask. And so, God, that's the juiciest part, right? Is that spiritual change. And so beautiful. I'm so grateful for it. So, I'm so grateful that I'm not, you know, I'm just pulling up in front of my coffee shop. I'm going to run in and get my coffee, and I don't want to eat the house down. I don't want anything in there other than my black coffee. Wow. So anyway, thank you, Vision. Thank you, OA. Thank you, Higher Power. Thanks to everybody on this line, and super grateful. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Nancy J. from California. And if you're just joining us, let me fill you in on where we're at. We're in the doctor's opinion on page XXIX, the first full paragraph, beginning with, on the other hand, ending with, required to follow a few simple rules. And we're reading and commenting on just that one paragraph only. And if you'd like to share, please give me your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from.
Chanel T.
Elizabeth.
Yvonne.
I've got, yes, Chanel T.
Yvonne A.
Elizabeth R.
B-T.
I've got you, Yvonne A. And I heard, I think, Elizabeth.
Yes, Elizabeth R.
Okay, got you, Elizabeth.
Karen B.
Carolyn S.H. I heard Karen.
Carolyn
S.H. Carolyn S.H.?
Yep.
Okay.
There's also a Kara B. if you caught me. I'm not sure.
I got you, Kara B.
Thank you.
Janice K.
I got you, Janice K.
Barbara W.
And Barbara W. And we may not get to everyone, so we'll stop there. I've got Chanel T, Yvonne A, Elizabeth R, Carolyn S.H., Kara B, Janice K, and Barbara W. We're going to start with Janice T, followed by Yvonne A, and please let us know where you're calling from.
I think you're starting with Chanel T, right?
I got you, Chanel. You're up.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, everyone who's doing service and everyone on the line. I'm Chanel. I'm a grateful compulsive eater, living in a state of recovery purely by the grace of God today. I'm not cured. I get to live in recovery. And that's what this chapter talks about, right? We just got the diagnosis. This is a disease. I don't have control over it. Only word I take issue with in this whole chapter. But it's also written by a non-alcoholic, right? Only one that was going to give that program, AA, and therefore our program and many others, legitimacy. Saying, no, I'm giving you a diagnosis. This is a disease. I don't have power over it. Giving me the warnings of what happens from this disease. Progressive. If left untreated, it's fatal. Oh, no, eating's not fatal. I just need to diet. Let's see. How many people are dying every day? It's fatal, left untreated. And talking about how, on the other hand, as strange as it may seem to those who do not understand, once a psychic change, whoa, what? No, I just need to get some pounds off or maybe put some on, depending on the situation. That's all. I need to stop throwing up. Whatever it is, I need to stop exercising compulsively. No, it's an entire psychic change that I get by working the steps, and I don't even understand to this day how that really works, except that there's a power greater than me working in me, through me, and not without me. The only effort necessary being that required to follow a few simple rules, and then it gives these promises. He gives a couple promises here. Had so many problems, he despaired of ever solving them. Suddenly finds himself easily able to, and again, I take a little issue with the word control, his desire for alcohol. Why do I take issue with that? Because I don't have control over this disease. I just think maybe that word could have been something different. You know, maybe I'll do a 10th step on it. Anyway, love this paragraph and this chapter. It saves my life every day. I'm going to the bottom of 84, 10-step promises, and we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even food, for by this time sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in our alcoholic foods and behaviors. Thank you for letting me change those words. If tempted, we recoil from them as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward food has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We're not fighting it. Neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we've been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We've not even sworn off. Instead, so I didn't just diet, right? I didn't just put the food down and then just try to be stark raving abstinent. It's been lifted from me on a daily basis by working the steps. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We're neither cocky, nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react, so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. Thank you so much, and I pass.
Well, thank you, Chanel. And where are you calling from? Oh, I think she already star one. Okay, we'll move on to Yvonne A., followed by Elizabeth R.
All right. Thank you. This is Yvonne A. from BC, Canada, recovered today by the grace of God. I love this paragraph, and so funny that the person before me shared about their dislike of the word control. I don't actually take too much issue within it, but it's in the line that I absolutely love, because it's the first time in this book that it tells us that compulsion, that obsession with the food is actually going to be something that we're going to be able to easily handle in our lives once we've had this psychic change. So that's the crazy part for most of us. We just thought we had to find the right diet, we had to find the right food plan, the right medication, whatever it was. But no, this is that's the crazy thing, is that this is a psychic change that happens when we're able to find a higher power and connect with that power every single day. But what it says is that we're easily able to control the desire. It doesn't say we're never going to have the desire again. We're going to have situations in life, whether they're strictly food related, where we happen to, you know, be at a party or a gathering where there's things that normally issue for us. And we might have a thought about those. But the beautiful thing and the promise in that sentence is that we don't start obsessing about those. As long as we're still in our psychic change and spiritually fit, we don't care about that food. We're going to be able, it says exactly, we're easily able to control our desire for our alcoholic foods. The only effort necessary being not required to follow a few simple steps. So when that happens, it's like now for me, I mean, food neutrality, I didn't even know was a thing. I did not know that this was how normal people felt all the time. So now if I do have a thought, it's like, oh yeah, but that's not my food.
And the fact that I'm thinking about this is a reminder that somewhere along here, my spiritual fitness is not at its peak. I need to go look at what is going on. And that's all it takes to take my thought away from that and put it onto something where it should be. I can do so many things. And so that has been an absolute blessing for me. I mean, there's so many blessings, but this is the one part that of the book that tells us we are going to be able to easily adapt our world to managing, controlling, whatever word you want to use, our alcoholic foods and behaviors. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Yvonne A. from BC, Canada. Next up, we have Elizabeth R., followed by Carolyn S.H.
Hi, this is Elizabeth R., recovered compulsive overeater in Texas. I also really love this paragraph, and it kind of comes across to me as a promise, as hope to me. You know, I was thinking when people see me in my life and see that I've lost weight, oh, you look great, what are you doing? And they see the way I'm eating. Oh, you know, I hear it all the time. All she eats is this or that, vegetables, and, you know, oh, what, like someone else shared, how are you eating? I'm going to try to eat that way because I need to lose weight. And like others have shared, it's not about the food, and I always thought it was, but I had to be beaten down to the point where I go, okay, this is not about the food. This is something I am completely powerless over, you know, saying, okay, I'm just going to have one of these and get my body getting up and going back and getting more, even though I'm going, no, don't do this. Why are you doing this? Don't keep going back. I could not stop because I had no power, and I had to get to that point. And now, you know, as it says, required we follow a few simple rules. And I was taught that those rules are the 12 steps. So it becomes, I come in like, oh, I want to lose some weight and I want to be able to stop being this way around food. And then working the 12 steps from the big book, I've lost weight, but it's not about the food anymore. It's about that quiet between my ears. And it also says, the calm, you know, it's the calm between my ears, but it says, the same person who seemed doomed, who had so many problems, he despaired of ever solving them. It doesn't say just the problem of alcohol. It says so many problems, because that reminds me that not only am I completely out of control regarding food and compulsively eating, but everything else is completely out of whack. You know, I am just a sick human being when I'm in the grips of this illness. And thank God, like it says, if I follow these few simple rules on a daily basis, you know, I get up, I do what I need to do, I do it throughout the day, I'm guaranteed one day of recovery, and that's it. Tomorrow isn't promised. But if I do what I need to do today and I keep my higher power running the show, I'm going to be okay today. You know, that's what it tells me, and I choose to believe that and have hope in that promise. And I'm just so grateful to not be in the grips today. And it is a miracle. Anyone that knows me, I don't obsess about my body weight anymore. Do I look fat? You know, and just the constant, okay, I'm on a new diet and I've lost a little weight. I am feeling like I'm above the clouds. And then inevitably going back into the illness and just that constant cycle of liking myself to completely hating myself, because I've now gone back to the food and then finding another diet and being super happy and then crashing again. I don't have to live that way anymore. I'm on a steady plane with my higher power. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Elizabeth R. from Texas. And next up, we have Carolyn S.H. followed by Cara B.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much, moderator. It's Carolyn S.H. From Massachusetts. I'm currently in New York. There are a few things about this paragraph that are striking me, and especially as I listen to others. I always remember when we're in this chapter and in the letters that this is the perspective of a doctor, of a non-alcoholic, a non-addict, looking from the outside in, and someone who has extreme extreme experience with folks like us. And where he says suddenly, he who has found himself, the person who seemed doomed, finds himself easily able to control his desire for alcohol. And I'm thinking that's what it looks like from the outside. It looks like I'm controlling it. It looks like I've gained control, like I'm managing. But I know what's going on. I know that I'm not doing it. I know that my higher power is doing it. On page 25, the whole, God has commenced to accomplish those things for us, which we could never do by ourselves. This is something I could never do by myself. And it almost doesn't matter to me, I'm thinking, what it looks like to the outside. And I've been studying, I'm currently studying, working with others. And I'm going to start sponsoring soon. And I'm starting to understand like the sequence of events as in sponsoring, and especially someone like completely new or someone completely green, we don't at the very beginning stress the spiritual nature of the program. We do eventually, like after we tell our story, but we don't have to lead with that. And I also wanted to comment on the thing about effort. Somewhere it says, following a few simple rules. For some reason, I thought I saw the word effort, but I remembered, oh, it's the only effort necessary. And when I heard effort, I thought of on page 85, that it is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action. No, that's the effort. The effort isn't controlling my food or even my words or my mood or my actions. My effort is in focusing on the spiritual program of action. And what's that? It's the steps. And I think that's all I got for this morning. And I just want to say I did go to the birthday party and it was fabulous. Oh, I want to say one more thing. All right, then I'll stop. Thank you.
Thank you, Carolyn S.H. from Massachusetts. Next up, Kara B., followed by Janice K.
Thanks so much. I'm Kara B. from Michigan. And I, I so much relate to what the doctor is describing in this paragraph where I felt doomed. I had so many problems that I despaired of ever solving. My whole life was chaos. Pre-recovery, and I, and the miracle is to experience something, to experience what this new reality is like post-recovery. Pre-recovery, I could not make it past 3 p.m. without going for my drug of choice, which usually was chocolate, and I just could not do it. I couldn't face life without it, and now I don't even want it. It's foreign to me. It's not even a factor anymore. It doesn't pull, as someone said earlier, for the most part. When I do feel the pull of the food, it is not about the food. It's about some unresolved emotional stuff that I need to take care of, but I know what to do. One of the rules, quote-unquote simple rules, that I know to do is to reach out, to do my 10 steps, to take care of business. And I'm so, so grateful that this program has been laid out for me so that I could be able to work this program and receive the miracle of the freedom that exists in recovery today. Deeply grateful. Thanks so much for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Kara B. from Michigan. Next up, we've got Janice K., and we may still have time for Barbara W. Janice, you're up. Let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Janice K. in Oregon. The things that strike me about this paragraph, the first is, as has been commented for, the psychic change. And I can tell you that we have words for it, and different people have different words that they can use to describe it. But I think the big thing is that once you work all 12 steps, when you begin to live in 10, 11, and 12, and begin that earnest endeavor of kind of living a guided life, you experience it. And it's the experience that is so radical. And the second thing that kind of struck me here is that this is clearly someone on the outside looking in. He says that it's sudden, and for many people it is. But I found when I went through the steps that every step brings a little spiritual awakening. You think, oh, is this it? Oh, no, that wasn't it. This other one was it. But there comes a point when it happens that we walk past the stuff that used to do. And it does take some work. The doctor can say it's sudden. He's not walking the path. He also says, oh, they're just a few simple rules. I wonder if Bill coached him on that. Yeah, they're simple, but boy, are they specific and are they grueling when you start to apply them to your life. But it is the application of those steps and principles to everyday life that create the psychic change. At least that's worked that way for me. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Janice K. from Oregon. And Barbara W., we've got a little less than 2 minutes. Please let us know where you're calling from. Barbara, you need to hit star one to unmute.
Excuse me, there I am. Good morning. Barbara W. here from Washington State. Being a retired primary teacher, the one thing that comes jumping out at me was the few simple rules. And it reminds me how different concept, the same concept can be expressed in so many different ways. As many of us know, that Bill W. used many different terms for the same thing. And who knows, you know, where that wording came from, whether it was whoever it was. It doesn't matter where the source was. To me, a few simple rules means I stick to the steps. I don't just coach it to a sponsee or take it or leave it with myself. I have to be that way. One thing that I talked with someone yesterday about OA was the idea of neutrality, how as many years I've been in the program, over 40 years, as many years as I've been in program, the word neutrality is new to me. And it's just how I can go in that same store and I know exactly where the say prohibited area of the store I should be in. It doesn't faze me. I go near it and I go, it's interesting because it's right around the corner from the produce department. I think this store was immense.
Barbara, that was time.
I didn't even hear it. I apologize. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Barbara W. from Washington State. And we're out of time, and we're going to now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Shelley E., will you please read A Vision for You?
You bet. Good morning. Good morning, my fellows. I'm Shelley E., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. The Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.